citizen who has dedicated his life to the struggle against evil men everywhere.
He is. Captain Max Steel. This epic and amazing and spectacular and stupendous program is the real Max Steel show.
Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hi everyone. This is Captain Max Steel on Dark City Radio, Freedom, the number one station of freedom of speech. Welcome to the show today. My free energy person, my guest, his name is Paul Pitone. I had to keep his name out of the out of the schedule for his safety. And I want to welcome to the show Paul Pitone.
Hello there.
I'm fine. How you doing there? And we're at, not going to say location, but anyway, welcome to the show. You're on live air. Go ahead.
I'm here in Kentucky, and everything is fine. Yeah, everything here is great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Okay. Before we go into the show here, I want to announce one of my friends does many healing with different technology, and I'm going to release the website. It's www.dtheledman.com. It makes all types of machines that help people in healing and in pain. Okay, that's it. Paul, welcome to the show. Let's start on what we talked about earlier on our private conversation about the free energy and how long you've been doing it and what's been going with your life and why is the government trying to shut you down and everything that you know about. Go ahead and talk about it.
I get a lot of my dreams from the time I was 5, 6 years old of how to do things. And I wake up and I know how to do something, even though I haven't gone to school to do it, because in my dream, I built it. And sometimes I'm able to see in my dream how old I am or what day it is, what time it is. I look for identifiers. And then I wake up and I can then know that at a certain time I will invent or develop something, or I'm going to help somebody. A lot of the inventions I have came to me in dreams. There are 7 types of dreams. According to science, there's only 3 or 4. That's fine. But back in 1955, I knew that there were 7 types, states of matter. And at this time, man only believes there's 4 states of matter. So I am usually a little ahead of the curve because of my dreams. I started inventing things from the time I was 10, 12 years old. If I didn't like the way something was done, I built my own. I quit school when I was 13 years old, 9th grade. I said, this is bull. I don't want to go here. They're not teaching me anything. They're holding me back. No matter what I tell them I can do, they tell me I can't do it. And I know I can. So I went out and got jobs and supported myself, and I learned I could do anything I said I could. It's not a matter of saying you can do it. Do it. And with GEET, in 1983, I decided I was going to build the GEET. I started working on it a few years earlier, part-time, and I finally had the first engine running with zero pollution. My goal, I thought back then, was to put Americans to work. Boy, what a great novel idea. Boy, was I wrong. The government does not want Americans to work. Unless you do what they're telling you to do. They want you to be a specialist that cannot think. You will only do your job. So they started restructuring America so that people like even Walmart and all your stores give you titles instead of money. And the ego takes over. So when you start inventing things like I do, very few inventors have more than one or two inventions. But if they're real inventors, they'll have hundreds of inventions. So I started out just trying to get better mileage, less pollution. When I got to the point I had zero pollution and I could get five times my mileage, boy, I figured I was America's hero. But every door slammed in my face. GM, Ford, Chrysler, none of them cared about zero emission. They didn't want people getting five times their mileage. They said, well, submit your idea. We'll look at it. Greenpeace, Sierra Club, all these great organizations that I believed in. They all said, we don't want solutions. We want donations. Solutions put us out of business. So everything you think you know growing up, you find out is all bull. And that's pretty hard to swallow.
Yes, it is. Go ahead and continue.
Well, I've got about 650 inventions, and I quit counting them, God, 15 years ago. And I could probably hand out an invention every week for the rest of my life and never run out. But instead, I'm documenting them all now. I'm building them all, and I'm turning them all over to my kids. And my sons will be able to bring them out later. Maybe by then it'll be politically correct. If our government hadn't stopped technology, we'd be light years ahead. If you look at telephones, when I was first getting out in the world, I went up into the mountains. I had friends that were still using the old crank telephones. You crank that thing up until the operator answers, and then she can put the call through with a switchboard. Now, you flip your phone open like they do on Star Trek and talk into it. You don't even have to dial a number. Just tell it, dial mom. It'll dial for you. So we brought that field so far into the future, it's not funny. But automobiles get the same mileage today as they did back in the early 1900s. Why? Because any inventor who has anything that will hurt an oil company is stopped. How can they control what we do? They own Congress. They own the men at the top that control this country. I'm going to turn it back over to you for a minute, Max.
Yeah, you're right about that. No, this show is about you today. So go ahead and continue about what we talked offline here, and just get into the nitty gritty, the good stuff.
I've made 181 discoveries, and I quit counting on that. I just put out my first book; it'll come out this week, and it's being advertised on my website. But we're trying to teach people basic science. The stuff that should have been written in your books years ago, maybe some of it was 100 years ago, but it was never accepted by the scientific community because it would hurt them. If they don't understand it, they can't make money, they don't want to promote it. It's like doctors. If you had a pill that could cure somebody, they don't want the public to know about it. They want you to go see a doctor and keep coming in for treatment, not cure. I don't believe in that. I want to give people a solution. So we teach freedom, how to have energy cheap, how to use an aluminum can to make fuel, how to use plastic to make fuel, how to use lawn clippings to heat your home. The average home can be heated for about $100 a year. And right now, it costs a lot more than that. Go ahead and take over for a minute.
Hey, why don't you go ahead and tell the people here your website? I want to say also that Paul's got an invention that can actually run just about anything, automobiles, generators, and all stuff. He does have a plan that he worked very hard with it. And he sells it for $350, but it gives you everything, everything, how to put it together, all the materials you need, and everything. I think it's worth it because he worked very hard for many years to bring this out to the public. And he does a lot of conference in different parts of the United States. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead and go into it.
Well, part of that was dead on. Yes, I do have plans at $350, but I sell the plans based on your experience. And I don't mean being a mechanic. We've had 10 and 12 year old kids that can build them. What I mean is, before you try to put it on a car, you have to put it on a small engine. We walk you through how to do that. Learn how to do it before you try to become the expert. You don't walk into a karate shop and say, I want to be a black belt today. Here's the money for class. Now give me my black belt. You've got to learn how. Once you learn how and you have the right knowledge, then you can move up the level. We move you from the small engine to a generator, and then from a generator to an automobile. We teach you each and every step of what you're doing, but we also tell you the government doesn't want you to get more than a 50% improvement. So if you ever call me up saying, I'm getting double or triple my mileage, I cannot help you. I have to tell you that that's illegal. But if you're calling me on a little engine saying, hey, I'm not getting the performance I want on the little engine. How can I get better mileage or runtime? I can tell you on a small engine how to do that. As long as that engine is not being used as a generator or a vehicle being used on a public roadway, then I'm not helping you to break any law. And I wouldn't want to do that.
So, okay.
The plans are simple. You can go to my website, www.geetinternational.com. GEET stands for Global Environmental Energy Technology. But if you go to GEET, you will find a lot more. If you give me a call after the show, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. The reason I did not want it identified as to what I was doing and who I am going on to the show is a lot of shows I've done here and internationally have been removed from radio waves and internet before we can complete the show. Some shows we've been kicked off within 10 minutes of starting the show. So by not advertising, there's a good chance we can get through an hour or two without being bothered.
That's correct. Yeah, they're still trying to do it because I hear your voice going in and out, but it's okay. We're getting the information out. Go ahead and continue, Paul.
Well, hold on just a sec. The cough I have is called belly fever. And if you look it up on the internet, you'll find out that it's a very popular disease that they don't know how to cure. And it started out in the San Joaquin Valley, where they've used an abundance of chemicals on the ground. And it has mutated a new kind of fungus that goes into the lungs. And normally people in my age group, 65, you're lucky to live 6 months. So it's claiming about 150 people a week and sometimes more. They do not have a cure for it. It is a fungus that is pretty rampant. It has now spread through lower Arizona, lower Texas, and is moving eastward, but it stays in the warmer climate. If I can stay at 68 to 71 degrees, I normally don't cough that much. But back to GEET. My quest for wanting knowledge has been all my life. I've gone out with old people all the time and asked them, if you could change anything in your life, what would it be? And the number one answer, I hated my job. Why would you stay with a job you hated? Because I was afraid. What was your second thing you changed? The person I was with. I spent all those years with somebody. I loved him when I met him, but I don't love him anymore. But I stayed with him because of the kids. Or for whatever reason, or I wanted to retire first. And I heard the same complaint over and over and over from all these people. Yet they still wanted all their toys, their luxuries and things, and they couldn't get it through their head that take a step back. Grandma and grandpa didn't have the luxury of lights on all the time. They didn't have the luxury of refrigerators. How did they get by? How were they so happy? How was their family unity? Well, we can have all that again, whether or not the government likes it or not. But you don't have to have all those conveniences. Yeah, they're nice. But if you could have a beautiful life and never have to work more than a couple hours a week, wouldn't that be a lot nicer? To me, it would be. So, yes, we all play that game. We all have to have that five-speed car, and we've got to see if we can do 160 when we know we can only do 80. We all push that limit. We have to quit trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Hey, Paul.
Worry about
Paul, let me ask you a question. Can you talk about the technology that you have right now? On the air here, explain a little bit about the technology and all that. I'm sorry you're going through a lot of problem with coughing. But anyway, just do your best and okay. Go ahead and explain about the technology and this plan that you got for $350. Explain how it works and what's involved in it.
Well, we were building them all machined out and perfect, and the government kept coming in and seizing everything we owned, and we'd file a police report or try to, and they wouldn't even take a police report. They'd say, "I'm sorry, you're Paul Fantone. We can't help you." But the harder it got for us was when, no matter what we called on, they didn't want to take any police reports. We were banned from filing a police report. The government did not want this to go forward. So at that point, they also said that they didn't want our technology being sold in kits. Quit selling kits or else. So we ignored it and we pursued selling kits. Our shop got raided again, and for many millions of dollars worth of equipment, we had to start over 4 times. We finally got the picture. They don't mind my teaching. If you're willing to learn it, I can teach you how to do your own car. But here, in all of Canada and Europe and many other countries, they do not want kits sold. They do not want you bolting it onto someone's car. But they realize so few people are going to be willing to do any work that they've said, go ahead, teach people. If they want to put it on their own car, that's fine, as long as they're not going to sell the car with a gate on it. But no commercial vehicles. Well, I didn't know that in 2000. And I went and bought a semi. Paid cash. Brought it home. We retrofitted it. We got it up to more than triple the mileage. And everybody who wanted to have one installed, over 250,000 people dropped out in 1 week. They got threats from all the big companies that make the trucks, which were backed up by Caterpillar, Cummins, and Troy Diesel, saying, we don't want EAT on a truck. If you put it on your truck, your warranty is void. And if you want to go that route, we'll even stop selling you fuel. So all of a sudden, all these trucking companies are saying, well, if you can't retrofit every truck the same day, we're going to be out of business. So we don't want you on any of our equipment. Get out of here. This has been ongoing for years. I came across all these other inventors that kept saying, I have this, I have that. Well, let me see it. Some of them worked. A lot of them were just pipe dreams. I know I can build it if I just had $1 billion. Well, yeah, I suppose some of them could actually build something if they had enough money. But most of them, no, it's an idea. The difference between GEAT and an idea is this works. When I gave away the plans in 1999 to avoid being bought out by OPEC, we gave away the worst plans I ever had that barely worked, and we still got millions of responses worldwide that it works. Well, of course it works. But I'm not giving away the secret on how it works. You got to buy the plans or buy all the books. The basic plans, the free ones, are all over the internet. And some people can get them to work better than others. But most of them don't get much more than 30, 40% increase. If I walk you through how to build it by buying the plans, chances are you're going to get a minimum of 50%. But I have to tell you, if you tell me you get more than 50%, you're violating the federal law. We don't want that to happen. So I don't want to hear that anybody's getting more than a 50% increase. We want to keep this legal. Now, I sent you a copy of that 1951 National Security Act. Did you have time to read it? Max?
Yeah, I did. I did read some of it.
Did you see all the different bills?
I saw all the titles on it. I couldn't believe how much it covered. Say that? Go ahead.
Yeah, you might be able to invent a toy without. Yeah, you can invent a toy without government interference, but anything else, they own it. Yeah.
Go
so
ahead.
So our great government, in an effort to stop inventors, has said, you will not produce anything without our permission. And if we want it, we take it. We don't pay you a dime. And I'm not willing to work under such a contract. So my patent will expire next week, but my copyright is in all countries and it begins this week. So now my new book coming out has pictures in it of every single discovery that we can make public at this time. There'll be a new book coming out about every 30 days, and we're going to be releasing more and more knowledge. There are ways to heat your home for almost nothing. You can make your sidewalks glow at night. There's all kinds of beautiful new technology out there. We don't have to have garbage dumps open. I don't know if you follow anything to do with the mainstream media on waste management, but they're losing money. Well, when you've got union drivers and union trucks going out and picking up recycling, and they pick up 5 cents worth of plastic and 10 cents worth of glass at your house, and they're paying a driver $40 an hour, you're not going to make money. The taxpayers are getting burned for billions of dollars every year. But waste management keeps growing. They're not going to lose money. There are ways of turning all that garbage back into cash, which is part of what we teach. We want the people to realize you don't have to take your garbage, send it to them, have them package it up and ship it to another country. Let China dig up its own ground. Let them build their own products. We don't need their stinking help. We can do it in America. Let's put Americans back to work.
I see. Okay.
That was my original goal.
Okay. Okay, Paul. Is anybody out there that wants to ask a question to Paul, go to Dark City Radio main page and write down the blue square where it says Bob Backyard. Go ahead and click there, and you will be guided here so you can ask questions to Paul Patone. Anybody want to do that? You're welcome to do it anytime. Go ahead, Paul, and continue. Oh, by the way, Paul, you can please repeat your website again. Some of my contact people have asked me for you to go ahead, and if you could do it again, please.
Okay. It's www.geetinternational.com. geetinternational.com. Now, if anybody wants to call me after the show, my phone number is 580-251-0651, and I will repeat the number a few times during the show, but it is 251-0651. Area code is 508, and it's GEET, G-E-E-T, for Global Environmental Energy Technology.
That's correct.
GEET.
Yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead and continue. With the technology that you have, it's not very hard to understand all that information. How much would it cost, actually, once you have the plans and all that, how much would it cost to put it together? What kind of hardware you need?
If you are using pipe instead of welding it all together to make it look pretty or stainless steel, just use regular pipe from a hardware store. You can build it for about $150 for a small engine, about $400 on a car. The cost is very small compared to the savings you're going to get. But if you don't weld the parts together, just screw them together, you can use the same parts on a small engine, disassemble them, and put them on your car. And the only thing you might have to increase is the size of the fuel chamber, which is probably $20. So you wouldn't be wasting any money by following instructions. You will be wasting your time and money. Somebody just wrote geet.com. That is incorrect. It's geetinternational.com. Back in 2000, it was geet.com, but my ex-wife did a deal with the attorney general in Utah to steal a company name so they could tarnish the company. That's when we came out with geetinternational.com. But we had to keep the company going, and we have been sabotaged many times. There's probably 25 companies, and it's also under rebuildinginternational.com. We're in the process right now of modifying the site. We just put it up in the last 2 hours, a link to your site and a link to the new book, so you can order the book right online. We'll be modifying our website a lot here in the next week or two, with probably about 25, 30 new videos and updates on all the other projects that we're working on. So we will be able to teach people on the internet how to do a lot of these things where they don't even have to come to school. But if you want to build a geet from the ground up with my help, you need to buy the plans for $350. If you want to understand the science behind why it works, buy the book. We go into it. We explain things that up till now, up till this point, a lot of things we know today that were old wives' tales are really true. When my mom told me as a little kid that if you have a toothache, put a clove in your mouth. C-L-O-V-E, clove. They're a funny little herb. You put it in your mouth and it takes away all the pain and swelling. The infection's gone and your abscess doesn't hurt anymore. Well, if you use clove oil, it even works better and faster. But, sorry. I can't wait to get rid of the cough. Clove oil, there are a lot of different herbs that will do things for the body that doctors don't like because they want to see you for treatment every week. But it's really upsetting when I've called dentists many times and said, I have an emergency. One of my employees broke a tooth or has an abscess. Can you see him right away? Well, no, if it's really urgent, go to the emergency room. Well, how stupid can a dentist be? Going to an emergency room is going to cost $2,000 or $3,000. I want to see a dentist. You mean the dentist can't look at me, take all the x-rays, and then give me a prescription for the painkiller and something to get rid of the infection, and then set an appointment? How much time is that going to take? So they send you to an emergency room where the emergency doctor says, oh, by the way, if I were you, I'd call so-and-so. He's a buddy of mine. He'll see you right away. So the dentists who are telling you to go somewhere else are losing a lot of business. And they're not smart enough to figure it out. Well, we decided to tell people how to get rid of that infection and pain so they don't need to go to the damn dentist. And if the dentist don't want to see you, don't go.
Yeah. Can you tell the people about that remedy you got for healing pains, like back problems or rheumatism, arthritis? Please tell it on the air.
Okay, well, it's not a cure. It just works. I don't know why it works or how. But I had a nurse I was dating, and she was 32 years old and was all upset. For 6 months, I kept telling her, if you want that psoriatic arthritis, quit hurting your hands. You want me to take care of it? I'll put some oil on it. And she kept looking at me like I was crazy. She said, well, if it worked, my doctor would have told me to do it. But she's one of these people, everything has to come from a doctor's mouth to be real. So finally, after 6 months, she's rubbing both of her wrists, and you can see she was in horrible pain. And I said, do you want me to get rid of that or not? She said, yes, if you can, please do it. So I mixed 5 drops of clove oil with 5 drops of olive oil. I rubbed it on her skin, and I could see the tears going down both cheeks. And I immediately stopped. I said, is it too hot? She says, no. No, I'm not in pain. Oh, my God. Can we patent this or copyright it? Or? I said, no, it's an herb. It's been around for thousands of years. I don't think we can get away with that one. But anybody can use clove oil, and you want to dilute it down with something. And the thing we found was olive oil. If you dilute it 50-50, you can put it on a baby's mouth when it's teething, and the pain's gone. There's no infection, no pain. The kids feel great. They can go ahead and eat their dinner. Now, I've had a lot of people that are older walk in with one abscess tooth complaining about the pain, and within 30 seconds to a minute of putting clove oil on it, pain's gone.
That's incredible.
They're back to normal.
That's incredible, Bob.
But dentists sure the heck don't want to pay. Well, I told a few dentists about it, and they said, well, that's why our Novocaine is made with clove oil. Wow. So that's what the magic formula is. Well, it takes away the pain, the infection, and it preserves the meat. Now, if you're making a ham and you cook the ham and you have 20 or 30 cloves in it, and a lot of you remember grandma doing it that way or your mom doing it that way, but you didn't know why, and they didn't know why. They just saw their grandma doing it. It's been passed on for generations. It's an old wives' tale, but they put cloves in it anyway. But you ask them, they don't know why. And I did ask my grandma why she did it. She says, oh, well, the meat won't go bad. If you put a couple of drops of clove in any meat, cook it, and you just put it in a canning jar, and it'll last 10, 20 years. We didn't have refrigerators here growing up. She told me in Czechoslovakia, refrigerators weren't a luxury until about 1930. Before that, you had to learn how to preserve food. Because you didn't go out and kill a cow every time you wanted a hamburger. You made the hamburger meat when the cow got slaughtered, and you canned it. If you use oregano, whatever flavoring you want, that's an antibiotic, a natural antibiotic, it won't go bad. And you put it in with all your other canned food. So they didn't need refrigerators. They had common sense.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to ask you, this technology you got for the automobiles, you know, a lot of these automobiles are computerized with using a computer called the OBD2. I know. I got to ask you a question. But, you know, it's a smart computer. It's actually monitors everything in the whole automobile, everything. So if you add this, when you add this attachment to the engine, is this attachment going to the fuel rail where the fuel is going into the rail and then into the injectors?
Well, it does a lot of things. I really don't like computers. We have found a guy here, and I'm not going to give his name out on the radio. Anybody who gets a hold of me, I will explain it to him later. But the computer, during one of my last radio shows I did, we had a guy call up who works at Volkswagen on the assembly line building engines. And he said certain blue control boards were put in all the cars going to Europe, specifically Germany, and all of the black control boxes went into American cars. When he asked questions about it, he found out that the blue boxes would give you double the mileage because they were programmed different. So it's the same engine, only one is programmed to allow more fuel, more air. Each one is set for what does the government want here. And right now, because we are controlled by oil companies, the oil companies want to sell gas and diesel. They don't want you getting good mileage. So, good luck.
Yeah, but the computers can be recalibrated like my car. My car is I have a Lincoln Navigator, and it's got 8 ignition coils, so I put high performance in there. And I was told that as soon as I finish, I can take and have it recalibrate the computer, so I can, you know, get more torque for the rear end and also to, increase the fuel mileage. That's the next thing I'm going to do. But that's why they make these vehicles where you have to, they bring a new vehicle out in the market that gets about 50 miles to a gallon. They're less weight. They lose, they use less materials on the chassis and the body. And then they, program the computer to do 45, 50 miles to the gallon. And it's mostly is a program that they do that. And, and believe me, you can program your car to even do more mileage if you know how to. You just got to go to someone who is a specialist in that. And you got to do a hush-hush. You can't be telling everybody that what you're doing, even though you're trying to help everybody, and all their, all you're trying to get is the news out there to, oh, I got this caliber and my car is doing like 15 to 30% more fuel economy, you know, just by reprogramming the computer. And it can be done. It definitely can be done. Okay?
Yes. We didn't have the computer experts back in 1994, 95. When we bought a couple of brand new trucks, a Ford and a Chevy, and we modified them with Jeep, and we worked on them in the shop until we got zero emission out the tailpipe.
Wow.
Now, that was really good. But the problem was, when the computer didn't read any pollution, it wouldn't let the transmission engage or the lights go on. So we couldn't move it. The minute we pulled the heat off and put it back to factory specs where it was pouring out pollution, it worked fine. Now, if you start modifying a computer and you don't know what you're doing, some of the newer vehicles have 8 or 10 computers on board. And when one shorts out, they can all short out. That's why they're trying to pass that new law in Congress right now saying it's against the law for you to work on your own car. You don't own the car. They do. You may have paid for it. They're saying you paid for the right to use it as long as you don't modify their program. They own that computer software.
That's ridiculous.
Were you aware of that law?
Yeah, I've heard about that. I did hear about that through another friend of mine that he's always doing all kinds of gadgets on his cars and stuff like that. He told me that if you put a 250-pound magnet next to the black box, it knocks it out.
Yep.
So you could do that.
It does. But you also, you could, but if it fries the rest of the computer system, then your tranny won't work, your lights won't work, nothing in it will work.
That's exactly right.
Yep. So, yeah, you can bypass.
I'm sorry, Paul. Normally, go ahead.
Some people are putting transistors and resistors in the line to trick the oxygen sensor. Well, that's good, but if that fails and you have a problem and they find out you've done that, they can confiscate your car for copyright infringement. You have violated the right to use their computer. Now, if you paid for your car and they find out you've violated the contract, your purchase agreement for copyrighted information, they can take your car. I don't care how much you paid for it, it's not yours.
You got to understand also, Paul, that like it says here about tricking the with resistors and sensor, the problem is if you start playing around with the oxygen sensor, the oxygen sensor, what does it controls a fuel ratio going in back and forth to the TPS and the auto position sensor and also the torque converter in your transmission. And if you start playing with that, you're going to have all kinds of different problems because the oxygen sensor, when it's being shown on a computer, it's supposed to say rich and poor at the same time.
Yep.
If you're only getting rich all the time, then you need to change the O2 sensor. But that's what that does. Yeah. And only that, it will make your transmission shift from one gear to another very harsh. It will make it'll buck like a bucking horse, you know, and that's why you shouldn't be playing around with that. Now, I know about computers, automobiles. I have 10 years experience in automobile electronics. And okay. Go ahead.
We put the gate on a 94 Ford, a big rig truck that was hauling 3,000 gallons of water. And we had to get to this shop to do a dyno test. So we were doing 90 to 95 miles an hour down the freeway. I was in the front seat with a guy, and he had the radio going. He said, "This is the first time I've ever been able to hear the radio pulling a load. Usually the sound from that engine is so bad you can't hear the radio." He said, "I've even got the windows down. This is unbelievable." Well, we get to the dyno shop, drop the trailer out, and we pull the truck in. And when the dyno read zero pollution, 21% oxygen coming out the tailpipe, it said we had zero horsepower. Well, if you have zero horsepower, you can't pull 3,000 gallons of water at 8 pounds per gallon down a freeway at 95 miles an hour. But he said, the computer doesn't make an error. This is a state-approved program. So if you're testing with government, if you're testing equipment, they're going to set it for what they want, not what you want. We bypassed all the computers on that one vehicle. Now, I can't afford to do that for every vehicle out there, but every vehicle is different. And we do have computer experts now that know how to bypass it all, and I do not touch that stuff. I teach people how to build a geek. Then if you want to go to that guy or one of his agents, you can give him a call. He'll tell you where the nearest service station is where you can go in and have it reprogrammed. But you're always going to face that chance. If I were you, I'd pay cash and say my name is John Doe. Because you don't really want a trail leading to your door.
I see.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
You can't imagine what I've gone through. At one point, New York City Cab Company had gotten a hold of me. The guy sent me his business card and all by email, and told me he wanted me to retrofit 13,000 cabs, mostly Crown Vics. "Can you do it?" I said, "Yes. I need one to start with." He said, "Go down to the nearest dealer and buy two of them. I want this model and this model." So I went down to the local dealer, and I said, "Do you have these two models?" He said, "Yeah, right there." I said, "I'll take one of each." He said, "Do you want to negotiate on the price?" I said, "Hell no, I'll take them both." He said, "How do you want to pay?" I said, "Ask the New York City Cab Company. I'm sure they'll pay cash." About 15 minutes later, the owner of the place in Salt Lake City came out saying, "We've already called the police. If you're not off the property before they get here, you will be arrested for trespassing. We have the right to refuse service to anyone, and we're refusing you service. Get off our property." Now, when you have parts stores telling you, "We will not sell you parts," you have wrecking yards that say, "We will not sell you anything, not even a nut or a bolt. Get off our property. You're not welcome here. Because if we work on you or help you, we will lose our license and they'll find something, even if it's 10 drops of oil on the ground, and they'll find us. Get out of here. We don't want to be closed down." That's how they control Congress, is they get enough dirt through NSA that if you don't do what you're told and vote for what you're told to, we're going to drop this on you. And boy, wait till your family hears about this. Everybody has some dirt in their closet somewhere.
I understand that.
The question is, do you want to believe it, or do you want to believe what's really happening? If a man says, "I can build something, show me." If he can, he's real. If he says, "Well, I know I can, just give me time to build it and give me money," Don't buy it. If it hasn't already been proven somewhere, don't buy it. Out of the thousands of inventors I've met, there's probably only been 10 of them that are really inventors. The rest of them are wannabes. And the wannabes have destroyed it for the real inventors, because people like Tesla, if he could have got the money from little people like you and me, he'd have been successful. But he was going to the big guys, J.P. Morgan and all the big guys, going, I want the big money. Be happy with the little money. You can get the technology out.
Yeah. Let me say, Paul, let me say a few words here. I have a friend that I'm not going to mention the company he works for, but he's well known. He went to high school with me in Miami. He's a chemical engineer, and for a big company in Galveston, Texas. He has told me that they stopped putting, they used to put a percentage amount in the gasoline as acetone. They move the acetone out of it and they replace it with alcohol. So your car engine will burn the tank a lot faster. So you need to buy more gasoline to fill up your gas tank. Now, he told me that if for every 10 gallons in your car, you go to anywhere where they sell acetone, nail polish remover, looks like water, 100% acetone. If you pour an ounce into every 10 gallons, you'll be able to get better gas mileage. Now, I do that. I actually do that. And it does get better gas mileage, and it does not hurt your oxygen sensor. So it does work.
But it does work. The same year that they removed acetone from gasoline without telling you, they added alcohol and they changed the formula on all Thermotex and gasket materials so they would all dissolve in alcohol. Now, why? What idiot would approve a new gasket, a new sealant for carburetors to be made with a new product that will dissolve in alcohol? Unless it was a planned thing that we want to get all carbureted vehicles off the road so we can control with a computer a fuel injector. It was all planned. We didn't see the handwriting on the wall. We've been duped. So, yes, adding acetone will improve your mileage. There's a lot of things that will improve your mileage. A better computer would improve your mileage. But a lot of these things we can't do today. I need about a two-minute break here, boss.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll take over here. Yes, guys, I've actually done that. My friend Alex, when he was moving up here to my house, he had, I told him, put some acetone in that U-Haul truck he was driving. He said he got better gas mileage. He didn't spend as much as he was when he was filling up the tank. Now, if you're wanting, if you do drive a big over 5.4 engines, like bigger engines and stuff like that, or 5.2 or anything like it, even four cylinder, six or eight, I recommend you do that. The other thing is, like my car, I've actually have to put more acetone instead of 1 ounce. Mine has 30 gallons. So I don't know how much that is in English down up in UK. But anyway, 30 gallons, I would put a whole bottle in there. A 12-ounce bottle, I put a whole bottle, especially when I'm traveling long-distance driving. And it made a big difference. So this works on all engines, all gasoline, three-cylinder, whatever, two-cylinder. Even on lawnmowers, it works. Just have to put less in there. And it does work. Believe me, it does, because I've been using it ever since my friend told me about it 10 years ago. So it does work. It won't damage any of your O2 sensor or nothing. Okay, so that's the information I wanted to give. I don't know if Paul's back yet. But anyway, I got to excuse him. He coughs a lot. He has that problem with that disease that he's got. He does have a problem sometimes talking. He's got to cough a lot. And we wish him well on that part. But anyway, I'm also an inventor, too. I've also invented different types of engines. I made a small one that worked. And I made a magnetic engine where it would generate electricity. I made a real small one and worked for years. But I never had the money to make a complete full model of it. So I hope one day when I do have it, I will do it. But for now,
we'll have to get together on magnetic motors.
We have to
talk about it.
That has to be done.
From a good section, Smokey Unick and I, years ago, when we were talking, I think it was 1982, 83, I asked him, I said, if there's anything you can go back and try to capture lost art on, what would it be? And he was telling me he used to put a screen, a brass screen, under his carburetor, and he could get a 30 to 40% increase in mileage on a racetrack. So after he told me that, and he didn't know why it worked, it just worked, I went back and I tried it. It wasn't until years later, and I sold thousands of them for $250 per installation. And some of the people got 5%, some got 30%. We put it on one bus, it got double the mileage, just a piece of screen. And people were calling me up saying, how does it work? Why does it work? There's nothing about it. The science book. I couldn't figure out why it worked. I looked up all the patents I could. Every one of the patents were wrong. Nobody figured out what made it work. Finally, my little 5-year-old son walks in and he said, Dad, look at this. And he held the screen up with a can of WD-40 and he sprayed it at a 45 degree angle through the screen and it came out like cigarette smoke. When it went through at 90 degrees, it came out like WD-40. It was so simple. An idiot could have figured it out, but I couldn't figure it out. It took a 5-year-old. All I could do was laugh. Now every car I work on, carbureted car, I could get a guaranteed 50% to double the mileage on everything. And it was that simple. But I realized at that point, the time is behind us for carbureted vehicles. Give it away. Help people who've got mileage problems. We have to figure out how to fix the controlled units with computers on them, and they're garbage. We bought hundreds of injectors. We put them under the exact same test, 81, hooked to the same pump. No two of them were even close to each other. Some were double the amount of fuel being delivered using the exact same impulse. There is no way to calibrate injectors. So by having computers that know this and they're programmed to make sure your cylinders don't get the right amount of fuel, they have a guaranteed amount of pollution coming out the tailpipe. And the government found a way of making money off pollution. So as long as there's money to be made and they're wasting gas, they love it. When you start talking about having zero pollution, they don't like it. It puts them out of business. So we're looking for the guy who has guts to say, let's do it. And I guarantee it isn't Obama. We have sent letter after letter, certified, registered, it doesn't matter. He doesn't respond to anything. We've contacted all the other presidents before him that we could. The only one that had any interest was George Bush. And George Bush got a hold of me through his attorney saying, when are you going to release the plans on water? Why? Why would you ask that? Well, before you introduce that technology to mankind, we don't want to be in the shipping industry anymore because we own the only 16 tankers that can ship oil into the United States. that are triple wall tankers. All oil has to go through the Bush Family Trust. Oh, okay. I'm not going to release the water plants unless something happens to me. If a bullet hits me, an arrow hits me, or I get poisoned, the plans go out that day. 500 websites worldwide, and we flood the internet with free plans on how to run everything on water. So leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And they bothered me. I don't like it.
Hey Paul, how much water do you need to run a whole home with that invention you have?
It'd be against the law to do that at home. I'm sorry. We can only go into theory. And if you're doing an educational engine and you bought the plants, then yes, we can teach you how to run on 80% water, but it would be a felony for me to teach more than that.
I see.
Yeah.
Our laws are so corrupt.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would do something about that.
Well, I started to, and I got tired of fighting the dragon when all these great people out there, a lot of them say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'll stand behind you. Yeah, they did, way behind me. Because when the axe came down, not one of them was willing to stand up with me. They all disappeared into the woodwork. Every scientist who said he'd stand behind me ran. So now in my new book that gets released today, anybody buying the book is going to get a copy by next Wednesday. I have names in there. And it tells you who, where, and when. I name state officials. I name other agencies. It's kind of bad that here in the U.S. we can't go on television. Yet from Mexico, in South America, they sent TV crews up to film me and did a one-hour TV special for History Channel. It's been broadcast over 50 times in South America. It's in Portuguese and Spanish. All about Paul Pantone, the inventor, who has something like Nikola Tesla and all these other great dead inventors. They even talk about Stanley Myers on there. But you know what? I'm the only one of all of them that are still alive, running, and it works. I don't have to tell people, here it is and it works. Buy your plans, build it yourself. Then when you start it up, you know it works. I didn't touch it. It isn't a magic wand. It's common sense. Okay, Max, I got a problem for you here. You're going to laugh.
Okay.
You got any change in your pocket?
You got any change in my pocket?
Right?
I don't have change in my pocket, no.
Oh. Oh, geez.
Come on. Okay,
let's reach in there and grab.
Let's make believe I got a couple dollars in change in my pocket.
Okay. And are three of them pennies?
Yeah.
Good. That's the only common sense you're going to have in a long time. Everybody who buys a book, a hardback book, is going to have an envelope in there signed by me. And it's going to say, here's your common sense for the day. And there'll be 3 cents in it. Because that's the only common sense most people have anymore. They don't use their head. They think everything true is on TV. What's on TV is bullshit.
Yeah.
Do I want to know if some gay guy is dressing up like a woman today? No. I want to know that SOB who killed somebody is at least getting a ticket. I'm sorry. Do I care if he wears a dress today? No. But is it important for the news?
Well,
how about covering things that are important? Why are we losing our rights to have good, clean air? Why are we losing our rights to have coal is a clean fuel? I'm in Kentucky right now, and we demonstrated a gasoline engine running on coal dust with zero emission. Do you see anybody beating a path to our door to help the coal industry? Hell no. They want to shut down all the coal mines. Put all these people out of work like they did the steel business, car business. Let's shut down all industry that will help Americans and give our jobs away to foreign countries.
Yeah.
It's time to get a grip on it, get our country back.
Hey, Paul.
Go ahead.
Somebody asked me a question in the chat room here. Let me go ahead and answer real quick. Okay. I was asked if I ever invented anything, and the answer to that is yes. In 1982, I told my father, because my father is an inventor. He was involved in NASCAR racings back in the early 60s. When car number 3 was actually Buddy Baker with Ray Fox Engineering. And they were always inventing in there. And I told my father, I walked in there and said, Dad, why don't we invent an automobile, an automatic transmission for a motorcycle. And my father said, no, that's never going to happen. I said, Dad, let's do it. Let's at least try it. So what we did, we made an automatic transmission with 3-speed for a Honda motorcycle that I had. Well, not Honda, it was a Kawasaki. And my father said, let's do it. So we tried. He made an automatic transmission for my motorcycle, and it worked great. And I said, Dad, I think we need more gears. We need to have more gears into it. So we added actually 2 more gears into it, and it ran awesome. And so we got a patent for it. That was back in 92. We actually built it in 9 months, and we put it out there, and the only one to answer our invention was Honda Motorcycle. They answer our message. We showed them a production that was on my motorcycle. And they offer us $5 million for the rights of it, and we sold it to them. And in 1983, we made the deal. We got $5 million for it. Of course, we had to pay taxes for it. And we actually came up with the automatic. It was my idea back in the – it actually came in my mind back in the 76. Actually, it was running around my head, but I did. My father and myself invented the automatic transmission for the motorcycle, and it was bought by Honda Motorcycles, and that's what I invented. I've been inventing many things, but go ahead, Paul.
It's funny you mentioned. We had a guy in Rio Linda, California, years ago. He had a motorcycle and lawnmower repair shop on the side of, I think it was Elkhorn Boulevard. And one day I see a big backhoe out there digging a pond. And they dug this big pond out, filled it with water, and it kept leaking. Finally, they got it to hold water. And all of a sudden, you see him out there with motorcycles, trying to ride the motorcycle on the water. And all I could do is laugh. I thought it was the funniest damn thing I ever seen. One after another, they'd sink, they'd come out with a crane, pick it back up, pull it in. Finally, I come home one day from construction work, and I see all these TV cameras around. He had come up with the first water bike. Honda, Yamaha, everybody had trucks there wanting to talk to him about licensing. And he wanted to make it. And they all walked away from him. Yet they all came out with their own version of a water bike. Yeah. He ended up still running a lawnmower repair shop years later. I don't think he made a nickel. That happens too often. An inventor gets excited, wants to show what he's done, and he loses it because he doesn't have copyright or patent protection.
I see.
But now, with the way the laws are written, I don't want copyright. I want copyright. I don't want patents. So we all hit those things. Now, when Smokey Eunuch told me about the screen under the cars, he also mentioned he lost a couple of trophies because he used mothballs in his gas tank. I said, what the hell does a mothball do in a gas tank? He said, oh, it releases a naphthalene immediately, and it's like having a turbo booster on there or nitrous oxide. I mean, you got power. Well, I tried it, and it worked really good. I talked about it on a radio show. And the next week, I went down to buy some more mothballs, and the store didn't have them. Kmart said they were already called. A few months later, I was told they'll never sell mothballs in California again if they contain naphthalene. It's against the law. So you can find them now in other states, but it says right on the package not to be sold in California, and it's against federal law to use it for any purpose other than killing moths. Wow. Why would something that really helps the public be banned? Because we don't want you to have it. We don't want the knowledge out there. So when people come here to be a dealer, I put them through 5 days of education that they will not get at any college or any book anywhere in the world. And the books I'm putting out now, it's going to be a series of probably 10 books. But if you get all 10 books, you're going to have all the knowledge that we've gained. We're hitting every field, medical, agricultural, all of it. I'm exposing who is behind stopping the knowledge from getting to the people. And it's not our government. It's the oil companies, pharmaceutical companies, or drug companies, whatever you want to call them. It's people with money. They're happy stealing the money out of your wallet every week. And we're trying to put an end to that. Best way to do it is let people know what's going on. If they want to wake up, fine. If they don't, well, go ahead and play the game the way you've been playing it. When was the first air conditioning invented that we know? Well, the Indians, before we got to this country, the Native Americans, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody on that one, but the Native Americans knew that if they opened the teepee door on the right side instead of the left side and opened it a little bit, it would cause a vortex inside the teepee in one direction, causing heat to be focused to the center and go up the center, causing a chilling effect, and the teepee would actually get 20 to 30 degrees cooler than the outside air. Now, an old medicine man, Navajo, taught me this while I was at his place trying to find out what knowledge he had that his kids didn't want to hear. And he was heartbroken that I was a white man wanting knowledge when his own people didn't. So he shared all the knowledge he could with me. He told me of his ancestors and how many, many, many generations ago, he said God came down and put them in this place. And he described things that only you and I would understand. But they were symbiotic. A thought was all that was needed to make things happen. Plants grew. Animals were healthy. They lived for a long time under there. He also explained to me that God, when he came here, had what we would call a spaceship, and that all he had to do is think, and the act of the ship would do what he wants. If he wanted it to hover in the air so nobody would bother it, it would hover in the air. Yeah. So there are many things far beyond our understanding, and people that have backed it up and told me how and why. So I do listen to everybody. I don't care if you're 95 years old or 5 years old. I'll take the time to listen. 25% of all the students that have come to my class hold a PhD. And I think that's pretty good odds. When you can get that many people that are that educated, that want, really want to know who you are and how to get a hold of you and what to do, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that people are asking me what other stuff I've invented. Actually, a lot of people have invented the same thing that I invented. But I actually built a – I have a scooter that has four-stroke. It's only had one cylinder. I converted into air. I put air in, I did a conversion where with a spark, I removed the spark plug, and then I put a hose there. And that I did a put check valve. I can't tell you all of it because it's too long. I used many, a couple of check valves. I use a diving tank, and I convert that. I put air. I had a welder put a valve at the very bottom of it, and remove the valves from the top and put another valve up there with some check valves. And what it does, I filled the diving tank with air, because that's the only tank that can actually hold a lot of pressure if you were underwater. But since we're not underwater, we're above water, I use the tank to hold the air in that diving tank and be able to circulate the air coming into the engine and then exhale where the muffler comes out. I put another device there that the air that's compressing the engine down, pushing the piston down for the engine to come back, the piston to come back, and exhaust, and the air will come out the muffler, where there was no muffler, be another hose, and that hose will go back into the diving tank, and it will always have air in there. So it will circulate continually, and you will never have to add air again. But I did put a pressure gate on there to make sure that there was no leaks or nothing like that. And the gauge you can actually adjust it, so you can and also add more air if you want to put more pressure. But I had to modify also the handle. The throttle on the scooter, and believe me, it worked really good for a long, long time. And a lot of people, I pull into places, it made a little noise, not too bad. But I would park myself into different areas, and people will ask me, "What is that running as? Running on air? Air? And how do you do that? I mean, I can't explain it to you, but if you want to, I can show you." You would really show me how to do one? Of course I'd do one. I can do a lawnmower. I can do anything. But anyway, that's what I invented. I haven't done no patent on there. It's useless if I put that out there as a patent, because they'll come after me like they do everybody. Ain't that right, yep. Paul?
You got it.
Yeah. Go ahead and continue.
We built some closed loop lawnmowers. We call them closed loop when the exhaust goes back into the engine.
Yeah, closed loop.
And there's no exhaust. But when you do that 100% closed loop, there's no sound. You can't hear the engine run. So we have had some problems with that. That idiots will stick their hand in the fan blade or in the blades of a lawnmower. If they can't hear it running and they don't know it's running, they do things that are stupid. You should always look to see, is the fan blade turning? Is the propeller underneath that lawnmower spinning? Is it cutting lawn? And idiots will put their hand under there, and it's very dangerous. You need to have that sound. But at the same time, we've also retrofit a few Harley Davidsons where they immediately pull it off, going, "I don't want that on my bike. I don't care if I am getting 3 or 4 times my mileage. I want to hear the vroom, vroom, vroom." And you can't hear it. So who cares about mileage? I bought the bike to make noise.
Hey, Paul, I got a question here in the chat room. It says, why is the price so high for teaching free energy?
Well... Which price? A lot of people think it should be free. For them, I wish I'd have saved all the other emails. I have a bunch of them. But we've had people say, "Well, you must be rich. Why don't you give me a car? Why don't you give me a generator? Why don't you give me the plants? Why don't you teach me how for free? How do I pay my bills?"
That's true.
I'm sorry. You can't buy me a Rolls Royce on good looks and let me use it for a year. How can I go buy groceries if I can't get anything other than thank you When I put the free plans up, on the bottom of the free plans, it said, any donation would be appreciated. Instead of making $75 for every set of plans, 1 million people downloaded those the first week, and I received $105. $100 from a guy in Europe and $5 from an American. That was in 1999. Do you think that was a fair donation for 37 years of my life? I don't. Am I in a hurry to give away the technology now? No. I'm selling the knowledge because I know damn well most people don't have the decency to make a donation for something that works. If it was free, it's free. I'm just going to take it. I don't have to pay you. So because of the millions of people that have already shown me they will not pay for something, I have decided not to share it openly.
Yes. I agree with you. It takes a lot, you know, $350 is not a whole lot. I'm actually not a millionaire or rich anymore, but I'm saving the money, and I will buy that from you because I'd really want to learn more about it. When I come to see you in person, I will bring the money with me, and I will buy that from you.
Well, I have a problem with that. We do everything by wire transfer, or we make sure people do it through a different way, but we don't want you traveling with money. It's against the law anymore. If you got that much money on you, you're liable to get robbed by the cops.
That's true.
We've had three students that were coming in at $5,000 each. They got caught with money in their car, and their money was confiscated.
And what's this country coming to?
Zeke Heil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds more like.
Not good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You think one day.
Right now, I have people right now that want to become dealers in several countries in Europe, and I don't want to go into which ones. I cannot teach them because we are not allowed to deal with them because of politics. So I have another division of the company over in Europe that can, and they're going to handle those. The guys from Africa and Australia are afraid to come to the United States. They'll pay me the $5,000 for full dealership training, but I have to do it by Skype. Yeah. They don't want to come here.
They're afraid.
So, yeah, it's getting bad. It has not gotten any better. So yeah. The best way I can help people is to get the knowledge out in a book form, teaching people the basic common sense of science that is not found in a science book, and explaining how the laws of physics have become the flaws of physics. If you listen to everything in your classroom, you will believe that they are right. When they see it running, they'll stand there and argue, it can't be, it can't be. I know I built it with my own hand, but that's not possible. Why? Because it's not in our book. Well, they don't understand new invention means it's new. They're holding on to their old values. And if that's what you want to do, fine. Don't waste your time and mine. Stay home.
Yeah.
I'm here to teach. And whatever you want to learn, let me know ahead of time. I'll see if I can have all the information before you get here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Uncontrollable. I want to make sure that I can give you a full education in all the fields that you seek. Now, okay. Some of the things you're seeking, if you're from North Alaska, are going to be different than if you're coming here from the Caribbean. Up in Alaska, you want heat. In the Caribbean, you want cold. So I have to custom fit each class to each person. And for that $5,000 to do that, I have to go through a lot of work to make sure the classroom is set up before you get here to teach you what you're coming to learn. And for me to print one book, one page at a time, I'm going to spend $150, $200. I'm going to have a secretary here for a day or two. And then while you're here, I can't answer the phone. I'm going to be mostly with you. So I have to have somebody here on payroll for the whole week while you're here. And people don't realize all those little inconveniences. But also, especially for people from foreign countries, I don't want you to run off for lunch at a restaurant. You're going to have lunch here. You'll have a sandwich, a salad, whatever you want. But I need to keep the audience here. What happened a lot of times when they had big classes, we sent people off for lunch, they get lost. They go to a lunch place. They have to wait for an hour to get a table. So I got 25 students sitting here, and two students are missing. Do I wait for them to come back, or do I keep teaching and then have to repeat everything twice? So we have found it's easiest only to take dealers. And if you want to go through a cheaper class, send us an email, tell me where you're at, and we'll see who's local to you that's willing to teach it. Most people, when they learn the technology, they're willing to teach it, but they don't want to get involved with the government. Go to YouTube and look up Geek Guys. They were the best dealers we had in years until they violated what I told them. I said, don't put anything up publicly that'll get us in trouble. So they started putting things on the internet of, here's how to run an engine on half water, and the same thing will work on your car. You don't want to say that. They also put a video up saying that their Subaru only got 19 miles per gallon, but now it gets 68. We told people, you don't want to do that. 50% is all we ever talk about to make it legal. If you go above 50%, you're going to be in danger. And you will be. We've lost a few dealers. Three students are no longer living. A few dealers have been arrested. The minute you cross that line of 50%, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah. Well, Paul, do you think that any of these inventions that you have, you can't patent in other countries, or will it do any good?
All countries are controlled by oil interests, or the U.S. dollar, or the U.S. petrodollar. So it is better not to patent or copyright, or copyright everything, but don't patent. Copyright it so it's yours. And then market it. Flood the market with it. And if somebody comes in and infringes, then you call the FBI or Interpol or whoever the federal agency is, and they'll take care of it. The government is interested in making money. They don't want to help you make money. They want to make money. So when you turn it over to them and they have to enforce your copyright, they're going to confiscate everything the other guy has, and you don't spend any money. Or you can spend $50,000 a pop to enforce your patent, and you never get anywhere.
Yeah. So why is it they're making all this money, and why do they say that our government bankrupt?
Because they're able to spend more than they're earning. We've given them too much leeway to just spend, spend, spend. We need to control them. And like I said earlier when I was talking to you, I normally do not get into politics. But my favorite conversation was Donald Trump the other day when he said, I don't take no stinking money from oil companies or any of these PAC groups. I'm using my own money to run for president. I'm not being bought off. And that's pretty blunt. I'm not being bought off. He doesn't owe anybody anything. If he wins, it's because the people want somebody in there that has some cojones.
Cojones. That's how you say it.
Okay.
That's Spanish.
He is not being bought out. All these other politicians with millions of dollars being donated every day, coming from banks and oil companies, are supporting him because they're hoping to get favors. He doesn't care who he hurts. He steps on everybody equally.
And these are the kind of people that we have, that we vote and put in there.
Have we?
Well, I'm not.
Who they control?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not voting anymore. I'm tired of being deceived and lied to. And they get up there and they, like, for example, the sheriff here in town where I live, I got him voted in. I got him vote. He wanted me to get him like 40 votes of Spanish people, Cubans. And I got him 44. Yeah. They voted for him. I went the other day over there. I wanted to talk to him, and he wouldn't even talk to me. I had to do an appointment. And guess how long my appointment was? Guess how long the appointment was? 7 months. 7 months from now. Somewhere in 2016. Are they crazy? So you know what?
Yeah. And
he sent me the other day a letter for helping him getting voted in. And he wanted me to donate money to the Sheriff's Association. And I told him, I sent it back. I put a little message in there. Put it where the sun don't shine. And I sent it back to him that way.
My wife and I, when I was married to my last wife, we sent out 2,400 packages. Each one with a videotape in about 50 pages of copy paper. We had to pay for all of it and postage. And we sent them out to every foundation in the United States, asking any of them if they had any interest in cleaning up this planet and getting Americans back to work. And to my utter amazement, we got 3 or 4 responses. And the responses were, this is great. It was, if you'd like to make a donation to our organization, please use the enclosed envelope and tell us whether you want to make it weekly or monthly or yearly.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to make donations. I was trying to help them for their purpose. Their purpose was to get money, not to help this planet. So if you tell me you're 501c3, I normally hang up on you very quickly. It's been sad. We have built a system that stinks. It needs change. And you can't change it by sitting idle. You have to get up and vote. I don't care if it's for the worst guy in the world. If he can do something and make it happen, vote for him. Give him a chance. It couldn't be any worse than what we just went through.
Yes.
I don't vote. I don't vote either.
I'm not going to vote anymore. No more president, no more nothing. I'm tired of being deceived and taking advantage. Not just me, but everybody in this United States of America, where a lot of people get deceived and lied to and taken advantage. I am tired. I'm sure they're tired of you, tired of them, and as something needs to be done. And I really don't know where to start, but if somebody out there is listening, God, send me a message to Skype, CAPT Max Steele, or on my email, CAPT Max Steele at hushmail.com. Please send it to me and try to get this on the air. Or get more volunteers to do something.
We go through these battles every few years. And I have not met a politician yet who isn't out to fill their own pocket first. They're not here to help Americans or
no, they're not.
Peruvians or anybody else. They're only here to help themselves and their families. So when people call me up saying, hey, I really want you on my side, what do you want? Do you want me to show up at your next fundraiser and run the engine on pickle juice or pee? I'll pee in a gas tank. The only problem is, 5 minutes after that presentation, you don't even want to talk to me again. They want to give me an appointment 7 months down the road. Yeah. So, no, I'm not interested. I want somebody who's real. And I don't think I'll find them in this country.
No.
There are people. People want the knowledge. Okay. I have to turn that call to you a minute again. Max, I got to run.
What's that, Paul?
I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All right, Paul. Well, anyway, guys, that's the way things is out there. But anyway, we got 25 minutes left in the international audience. I wish one day I get to go to England or back to Spain. My God, those beautiful countries out there that I've not visited. And I sure would love one day to go to the UK, London, and sit in a pub with some of my friends here, like Robo Hippie and Bob Backyard and Bob McMahon sit there in a pub and drink some cold, nice cold beer. No ice. Robo Hippie said no, he doesn't do pubs. He would like to go on gigs and I don't know what he's trying to say. But anyway, I would like to go someday out there to Europe. I haven't been out there in a long time, but definitely would like to go to UK. And one place I would love to go is the Island of Man, where you have these races, motorcycle races there. But anyway, Free Energy is the show, the topic today. I know we have gone very different directions to explaining the free energy. And it's just, the energy, one day we will have it and enjoy it. And we will once be free again on the planet. I don't know when that will be, but I hope it's around the corner. And we will be free to do whatever we want to do. And money is not involved. It's mostly a barter exchange between one person and another. And that's what we need. And most of all, a lot of love to be spread all over the planet that needs it so badly. Love is very important on this planet. And a lot of people don't out there embrace it. But you should try to embrace love because it's very beautiful and makes you feel good all over. Hey, Paul, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I'm looking here at something. I'm looking at some of the little notes that have come in.
Yeah.
We've had a few people interested in buying the plans and a couple others that want the book. And if they go to my website, www.geetinternational.com, the information is there on how to order. And that is Geet, G-E-E-T. Global Environmental Energy Technology International.com. You mentioned a couple of things there that kind of caught my attention when I was in the other room. And we have had people from all over the world that have flown here. And it's funny, people in America depend on these Garmin or GPS units. People from foreign countries, they say, how do I get to your house from the airport? And I tell them. And they drive right to the house. Here in America, we're so lazy, everything has to go into GPS. So when the little unit tells you turn left, turn right, go straight, you end up 500 miles away when you're only 100 miles away to start with. But we still believe we're going to use computers to solve all these problems. No, we're not. I refuse to drive a computerized car because they are dangerous. And finally, that showed up in the news the other day, that they can stop your car while you're driving.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They can lock you in your car if they want. Yeah. They can make you turn right or left when you don't want to. Sorry about that 2,000-foot cliff.
Yeah.
no, thank you. Give me an old-fashioned car, thank you. I want to work on it myself. I don't want to have to go to a certified dealer.
Yeah, I agree with you. We need to get off these computerized cars.
Yeah. You know? And if we start exposing how crooked they are and how bad these systems really work and how our mileage has really gone down instead of up, it might get their attention, but it's going to take numbers. People are willing to stand up, sign a petition, raise holy hell if you have to. We did a conference at the Hilton Hotel in Denver. It's been years ago, I think about 20 years ago. But Ford Motor Company was holding a conference at the other side of the building. And they came by our booth a few times, and they saw what we were doing. One of them said, well, do you have a car that runs on this? I said, yeah, right outside. So I took him and four other guys, all wearing their beautiful Ford coats, out to the car. And it was an old, beat-up, rusty Pinto. But it only got 88 miles a gallon. And they all looked at each other going, what did you just say? 88? I said, yeah, we don't have a car coming off the assembly line that can get 30. How the hell are you getting 88? I mean, we modified it. Well, you can't legally do that. Only Ford can modify a Ford piece of the equipment.
Yeah.
The rest of their conference was told to avoid us. So it was kind of funny. Every time they'd take a break, they'd go out the front door, walk all the way around the building to the parking lot to get in their cars and leave. They were told not to go by our booth again. So for 3 days, they had to walk around the building. And I enjoyed it. I laughed. Every time I'd see them taking a break, running out the front door, I'd run outside. Hey, any of you guys want to go for a ride? Not one taker. Now, we did have one guy, Charles Collins. He was running for president years ago. He's dead now. I think he lived down your way, maybe in Georgia. But he made comments one day at a conference that he didn't think that Mickey Mouse thing made out of pipes could ever get any kind of horsepower that he'd be impressed with. Well, I listened to his bullshit for 3 days. And on the last day of the conference, I said, hey, Charles, want to go for a ride? He said, sure. So I got him in the front seat of the Suburban, and we took off across the expo parking lot. By the time we got to the end of the parking lot, we were doing about 90. And I went off into the main road, four lanes wide, doing a right turn, burning rubber, and we took off again. Coming back, I realized we were not going to make the next corner unless I jumped the curb. So I jumped the curb and the planter, went right over all of it, landed in the parking lot, and I kept going, burning rubber. I slid him to a stop. He got out shaking. He said, okay, it's got power. I made a mistake. But for the last 15 years of his life, at least once a month, somebody'd ask him about GEET, and he'd say, oh, it works. It's real. But the only way I could convince him was to put him in the front seat and give him a grill. So yeah. If you want to see the wheels burn, yeah, we can do that. But if you're a practical person, you want better mileage, we can do that too. And to me, I'd like to know if the power goes out, I've still got a generator running that I can run on aluminum, plastic, whatever the heck I want. And then I can heat my house for $100 a year with lawn clippings, a little $5 pump or $10 pump, and I can heat my home and enjoy winter. A lot cheaper than I can with firewood or coal or wood or anything else. It's just the heat's free. What's wrong with free? Oh, to do it for free means I have to put in 4 hours of labor. I'm lazy. I don't want to work. I want it for free. I want somebody else to load the bag. So we've got people in this country that want free. They go on welfare. And once they're on welfare, most of them can't get off and don't want to. We have lost the ability to work. And the government is trying to destroy it so none of us know how to work. We can't do a job from start to finish. We don't have apprenticeships to teach people how to do a job right. We teach them like McDonald's. You turn the hamburger over, the next guy takes over and does this. Oh, you put the hamburger in the bun and do this. Oh, the next guy does this. Each person has a part of the job, and that's all you know. We don't want you to know any more than your job. And as long as we can keep controlling people and giving them titles to boost their ego, they think they're great, and they don't have any common sense. They don't know how to put the pieces together. We need to teach people how to put things together again, how to become inventors, how to become creative, how to use your mind, how to feed your family. If the welfare system went down tomorrow morning, how many people in this country would starve to death? A lot. We haven't taught them how to work. We've taught them how to sit on their butt and collect a welfare check. I teach people how to use their head, and I give them the science that isn't in the book anymore. I teach them how to be survivalists.
Yeah.
How to make your own energy when you need it. People don't know how. It's not in the book.
Hey, Paul.
The time for the book is now.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, my grandfather told me, well, he's dead now, that back in World War II, he's Cuban. He's from Cuba, like yeah. I am. He would tell me that back in those days, they didn't have no gasoline or nothing to run their cars. And you know what he did? He modified the engine to run on kerosene.
Yeah. Well, Hitler did not want his people to worry about gasoline because he knew he needed all the gas and diesel for the military. So he opened free school, free. Any person who was from Germany, Austria, and surrounding countries to come to school and learn how to modify your vehicle to run on coal, garbage, wood, whatever you wanted. And it was a free class. But now, all of that knowledge just about it is gone. They erased it. They didn't want anything good about Hitler out there. We have to make him look like the enemy. Yet IBM and big companies here in the United States, Xerox, all these big companies supported him. Our country supported him. But we don't want to admit it now. I'm sorry. We keep changing our history books to get what we want today. Is there anything wrong with the Confederate flag? No. I've got black people working for me that have asked me, is it all right for them to wear a shirt in with the Confederate flag on it? Heck, I don't care what you wear. Just wear clothes.
Yeah, up here in North Carolina, I mean, ever since they started to do that in South Carolina, they've actually bought all these outlets that sell the Confederate flag. They actually, they're sold out. Everybody's putting Confederate flags in their yard, you know?
Yeah.
I want it. Well. Yeah. God, I forgot what I was going to ask you. But anyway, let me see. We got like about.
Somebody in the chat room wrote there the gas has gone down to $2.15 a gallon.
Yeah, that's me. I wrote that down.
Okay, well, somebody. On the news, we're talking about gas in California, Southern California, being $6 a gallon last week. Yeah. It's whatever the idiot will pay. That's what you charge. If they're not driving enough, and you got to burn it off at night, give it away.
Yeah.
So people in LA are driving too much, so charge them more.
Yeah, if you
if
go
you're
to
North
w-
Carolina and people driving enough, yeah.
If you go to www.gasbuddy, B-U-D-D-Y, and put your zip code there or another zip code, over here in Virginia, about 10 miles from me, I don't get gas in North Carolina. I go to Virginia to get gas. It's $2.15 a gallon over there. Last week was $2.39.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy it where it's cheap. You know, I'm not gonna buy it in North Carolina. It's $2.69 over here where I live. You think I'm gonna pay $2.69? Heck no, I'm gonna go across the border. You know, and pay that $2.50 a gallon. And
a lot of people I met, I used to own a Texaco back in 1971. And back then when gas was 32.9 cents a gallon. People would drive across the street and buy 5 or 10 gallons over there, then come over and fill up at my place because I washed the windows and checked the tires and checked under the hood. Across the street was a penny cheaper. But they wanted to save that penny on part of their purchase. So they buy most of their gas over there and then come over to me and fill it up. People want service. They don't get it anymore. In the 50s, if you wanted to start a new company, you wanted to use the name Quality. Now, you want to call yourself Rinky Dink. Crazy. Mickey Mouse Construction. You're going to make money because nobody wants quality anymore. They want cheap. Our whole country has gone to hell in a handbasket over these issues. We don't want quality anymore. We don't know what it is. We've lost perspective. I try to teach perspective. Which is worth more to you? Going out and spending 1 or 2 hours and having heat for the whole winter, or paying at $1,200 a month for fuel oil so you have heat all winter? I'd rather have the $100, thank you. I don't mind working 1 hour. But most Americans are so lazy, they don't want to do that. They'd rather sit on their butt, watch TV, play games, go to the bar, go to a concert, football games, whatever. And that's why all these sporting events are so big, is we have been programmed to believe they're more important than our own lives. And going in debt, there's nothing wrong with it in America. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with it anywhere in the world. Don't go in debt. Spend only what you can afford, and you will never be poor.
Yeah.
Here, we like to overspend.
Paul, let me say a few things here. Okay. Next week on my show, it's going to be, his name is Shane Siebel. He's a Native American in the southern Utes of Ignacio, Colorado. He's going to be talking about all the different things that he's gone through his life with our government and all the things that most people don't know what's going on over there. He's going to talk about it. He's going to be on my show next week on the 12th at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time and 9 p.m. UK time. And 10 p.m. Spain time, so in Europe. The week after that, which I rescheduled, was Randy Kramer. Randy Kramer is going to be on August the 9th. He's an ex-Marine involved in security on Project Pegasus, where Andrew Basaglia was on. Which Andrew Basaglia mentioned him many times on the show that we had together here on Dark City Radio. So I just want to bring that up for the next 2 weeks. I do have other guests that I'm trying to get. A lot of them are, some of them are, believe me, I got some here that are actually hiding, and they have left the country because in danger for himself and his family. I'm trying to reach that person. I'm not going to release his name yet until I get a hold of him and get his permission to do so. That's how I protect my guests. Like Paul, I didn't mention his name to the beginning of the show because all the things that he's gone through his life and protecting himself, because there's a lot of bad people out there. And, you know, it's good to protect them. That's what I did. That's why I didn't mention his name. And so I know we have right now, we have right now 10 minutes left, I believe, Robo. Oh, 8 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. Oh, man.
5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Five minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
It's not bad people. It's
corrupt
companies in the government acting as bad people. What happened is years ago, we used to have a thing in the United States in the 30s called the Mafia. A lot of those hard-nosed guys who are operating illegally have joined the government, and now they carry badges. And with badges, they can do any damn thing they want, which means rob you on the road, and it's legal, according to their books. They can do whatever the heck they want. They can pretend. They can make up. They can plant drugs on you and say, oh, look, we caught this guy with drugs. Years ago, I was talking several hours with John DeLorean, and he told me how he was trying to do the same type of thing I was, helping mankind. And they set him up to make it look like he was the biggest coke dealer in the world. They can make Jesus look like a saint or a sinner. Whatever they want to do, that's what they do. So I don't care what anybody says about you. I want to know from you what happened. Go to the horse's mouth. And if you want to know what's happened to me, my life has not been a bed of roses. It would have been nice. Here I am trying to help mankind, and all I do is get screwed over and over and over. But can I really blame it on the women in my life? No.
No.
Not when the government comes in and threatens them with their life. So men are going to do what they got to do. If you're protecting somebody's interests, that's fine. I was trying to protect yours when I said don't mention my name, because I didn't want your cables being cut or your phone being zapped or your building being burned down while we're doing the interview. So if I'm never on your show again, it won't be because I didn't want to be there. It'll be because somebody put pressure on you. And because of that, I will show my respect and love for you, saying thank you for having me on. But if for any reason I'm not on again, most likely it will be because somebody has put pressure on you or your family saying don't have them on again. And that's happened to me so many times, it isn't funny. I don't get mad at anyone for that. I respect you. Take care of your family. But as you're covering other people, if they have the same problems that I'm going through and they have the technology I have that is disruptive towards government, then yes, by all means, protect them until they're ready to drop that veil. Let them tell you when it's safe, and when it is, go for it and go for all of it.
Yes.
If anybody has any questions, they can call me after the show at 580-251-0651. And one more time, that number is 580-251-0651. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, we got about 2 minutes left, under 2 minutes. I just want to thank you so much, Paul, for being on the show. We got 90 seconds here. Robo, you wrote it wrong. What are you drinking there?
Yeah.
What are you drinking over there? Oh, I see what he's doing. Okay, you're right. He put 90 centons.
I
got you, Robo. Hey, I want to thank everyone for being here on our show today and the panels here. And I want to thank you for listening to Dark City Radio, the number one station of freedom of speech. You can about say anything, but I don't like the profanity too much. But it's okay. I mean, a few were said, it's okay. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for being here on Dark City Radio, the number one station of freedom of speech. And my producer, Robo Hippie, my guest, Paul Pantone, and Bob McMahon in Backyard. I want to thank all of you and everyone else who's in the panel here. Thank you for being here on the number one Dark City Radio, darkcityradio.com. 2019-15. We're almost out of here, Paul. And thank you so much, okay, Paul. Well, and bless. We are gone.
God bless.
God bless all of you. Wait a minute.
Private citizen who has dedicated his life to the struggle against evil men everywhere.
He is. Captain Max Steel. And this epic, amazing, spectacular, and stupendous program. Is the real Max Steel Show. Captain Max Steel.